27. The Heart Cog. Oppie did not rest or even stop to eat. His body followed the commands of the men in greatcoats, shoveling coal from the railcart into a huge burning furnace. Other men melted metal and hammered it into shapes on several anvils. When the cart was empty, Oppie would walk down the track and, along with several children, drag the next cart into place and begin to shovel again. Once he slipped on loose coal and fell onto his back without a sound, despite the excruciating pain. He'd been instructed not to make any noise, and so he didn't. It was while lying on his back that he first saw the roof of the large cavern. Lines of gaslights hanging from wires stretched wall to wall, scaffolding reaching to the top. For a brief time, he was able to control his hand. He stared at his palm. It was blistered and black with coal dust. He turned it over to see hairs growing across the back. Then he found he could turn his other hand over, and realizing that he had control of part of his body again, he thought about running. Yes, if only he could make his legs move, he could roll over and run. He touched the bolts in his shoulders and began to moan. Then one of the guards shouted, and the doctor brought more of the burning drink. His body went back to its task. Sometime later, the doctor stood beside him, saying,
"You're my creation now. Come with me."
He led Oppie along a metal framework, past the machine the children had helped construct. Oppie didn't understand what it was. It had arms at least 15 feet long, but what would it lift?
"You will have a very special place," the doctor told Oppie.
They climbed a ramp and walked across the machine. Spread out flat below their feet were many metallic rectangular boxes, like small coffins, with manacles chained inside each one. The doctor told Oppie to lie down in one of the boxes with his back on a leather hammock. A large man leaned over, grunting as he attached Oppie's shoulder bolts to the rectangle and tightened them in place with a wrench. He snapped Oppie's feet into manacles.
"This will keep you steady," the doctor said, "for you'll be shouldering a heavy load."
He showed Oppie two wires. They were attached to a hand-sized gyroscope above his head.
"The filaments will send you messages only your muscles will understand, and will draw from your inner energy."
He clamped a wire to each of Oppie's bolts, and the filaments immediately began to glow. Sparks flew, and Oppie felt his muscles tighten. The gyroscope above his head began to spin.
"It is set properly. Good."
The doctor patted his arm.
"I know it's hard to understand, but I'm proud of you and all your brothers and sisters. The mind is turning out to be more powerful than even I had understood it to be. And in the end, it is the mind that will bring this whole machine to life."
The doctor left, and Oppie could only stare upward. He wanted to shout, "Let me go!" But it was impossible. Two men stepped over him, grunting, carrying a body. The body's head flopped forward, and Oppie found himself looking right into the glazed eyes of Prince Albert. The prince showed no hint of recognizing him or even being aware of his surroundings. The men lowered the prince out of Oppie's sight, but by the tightening of screws, Oppie guessed they were bolting him to the machine.
"What? What is this?"
Prince Albert slurred.
"Ah, enough. Tut, tut."
It was the doctor's voice.
"More of the potion. It will make you feel better."
This was followed by a gurgling sound and a cough.
"You will be the heart cog, Your Highness,"
the doctor explained.
"I'm so proud of you. I'm so very proud of all of you."